Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. If you have questions related to what you hear today, or just want to find out more about the ministries at First United Methodist Church, please visit us online at fumcbentonville.org, or check us out on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok.
So we are in this series called Foolish Love, and today we're going to look at the fact that foolish love is wasteful. And if you are looking in your bulletin and searching for Mark 17, you'll note there's not one. That's a misprint. It's Mark 5, 1 through 17. So we'll hear from Mark 5 and John chapter 2. And as we read these two passages together, we will be able to ponder that age-old question. What wine goes best with pork? So hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the lake, to the region of the Gerasenes. As soon as Jesus got out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out of the tombs. This man lived among the tombs, and no one was ever strong enough to restrain him, even with a chain. He had been secured many times with leg irons and chains, but he broke the chains and smashed the leg irons. No one was tough enough to control him. Night and day in the tombs and the hills, he would howl and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from far away, he ran and knelt before him, shouting, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." He said this because Jesus had already commanded him, "Unclean spirit, come out of the man." Jesus asked, "What is your name?" He responded, "Legion is my name, because we are many." They pleaded with Jesus not to send them out of that region. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside. "Send us into the pigs," they begged. "Let us go into the pigs." Jesus gave them permission, so the unclean spirits left the man and went into the pigs. Then the herd of about 2,000 pigs rushed down the cliff into the lake and drowned. Those who tended the pigs ran away and told the story in the city and in the countryside. People came to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the man who used to be demon-possessed. They saw the very man who had been filled with many demons sitting there, fully dressed and completely sane, and they were filled with awe. Those who had actually seen what had happened to the demon-possessed man told the others about the pigs. Then they pleaded with Jesus to leave their region. Then from John chapter 2, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They don't have any wine." Jesus replied, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My time hasn't come yet." His mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby, there were 6 stone water jars used for the Jewish cleansing ritual, each able to hold about 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some from them and take it to the head waiter," and they did. The head waiter tasted the water that had become wine. He didn't know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The head waiter called the groom and said, "Everyone serves the good wine first. They bring out the second-rate wine only when the guests are drinking freely. You kept the good wine until now." This was the first miraculous sign that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. He revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts, our minds, and our eyes, that we might see and know the word you have for us this day. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I have a storied softball career. Well, really, t-ball career. I didn't make it past t-ball, in all honesty. And the reason that I didn't make it past t-ball was because I struck out in t-ball. Twice. You know the ball's not going anywhere, right? Twice I struck out in t-ball. I am awful. When it comes to putting bat to ball, it does not happen. It was so bad that when I was 16, I was in a family softball game, and we had a rule: based on your age, you got a certain number of strikes. And so since I was 16, I had 3 strikes the first time I went to bat, and that's a lost cause, so that's not going to happen. So then they moved me down to the 10-year-old level, and I had 5 strikes, and I struck out again. And then they moved me down to the 5-year-old level, and I had 10 strikes. And then the next time I went up to bat, they were just like, surely she's going to hit it eventually. So they gave me unlimited strikes. And I thought we were all going to die of heat stroke in the Oklahoma July sun. And so finally they just said, just walk. Just get on base. We're just going to let you go. Me playing t-ball, softball, any of that is a tremendous waste of time. Do you have something in your life you've wasted time on, energy on, money on? These two passages that we heard today are two stories of tremendous waste. Now, if we look at that first story from Mark and we focus solely on the perspective of the man, we can celebrate. You know, he was set free, he's freed from his demons, he's healed, all of that. And that's great. Now read that story from the perspective of the swineherds who lost 2,000 pigs, likely their entire herd, in an era when there wasn't insurance policies on your herds. They're destitute. They're wiped out by this moment for this one guy. And then, you know, Jesus knows how to throw a great party, right? He can bring the best wine to that party. But he brings it at the point where everybody's too drunk to notice. That is the point that they're trying to make when the steward says, people save, they do the good wine first and save the bad wine for later, because later on in the party, everyone's so drunk, they don't know what they're drinking anymore. And so he couldn't believe that you would save this really good wine for the end of the party. It's a real waste right there. God's love is incredibly wasteful. God's reign is incredibly wasteful. And when we participate in God's love and God's reign breaking out into our world, sometimes there is tremendous amounts of waste. Now, that should not be our goal. We are called to be good stewards, and we are called to be careful with the resources that that God has given us, and that should always be part of our goal. But we should always be willing and recognize and even expect that when we serve, there will be waste generated. And why is that? Because we can't control the outcome of what we give. How many of you have had this conversation with yourself when you pull up to a stoplight and there's someone with a sign asking for money? How many of you had this conversation in your head? Well, I could give him $20, but what would he do with it? That's not yours to control. Yours to control is the generosity of spirit that you have. Do you respond in that moment or not? And then whatever happens with it, happens with it. Even our food pantry, and the people who run our food pantry are tremendously careful with everything that is given to them. But they can't control the waste either. They can't control whether all of the produce that we get donated gets picked up that day. They can't control what people do with the bag of groceries when they leave. And maybe because it's just a bag of groceries given, they get stuff that they don't like or can't use, and maybe they take it and exchange it in our little free pantry, but maybe it just goes to waste. Does that mean we don't do it? Mission can be wasteful. Today is UMCOR Sunday. UMCOR stands for the United Methodist Committee on Relief. UMCOR is our collective arm as United Methodists and the work that we do in the world. And I will tell you that it is a tremendously significant arm of our church. It is the second or third largest relief organization in the world. We are allowed into countries that don't allow Christian organizations into them because we're Methodists and we don't make a fuss. Instead, we just go in, get the work done, show the love, and leave when the work is done. And I will tell you that whenever the plates are passed around or when you go online and give, that 10% of everything that you give every Sunday or through the week goes up the chain. It leaves this church. And it goes to support the conference offices, but it also goes to support the General Board of Higher Education and Ministry, and it goes to support UMCOR, which means that we as a people pay for all of the infrastructure of UMCOR. What that means is, since we cover all of that cost every week, that when you give specifically to an UMCOR project, 100% of what you give goes to that project. So 100% of what we gave to tornado relief went to people like those in Wynn recovering. And if you give to international relief or to international education of girls, maybe you're helping a girl go to school in Sri Lanka. And 100% of what you give when it's directed to UMCOR will do that. So we try to minimize waste by making sure as much of the funds that can go to the people in need. But people are always involved. And when people are involved, things can sometimes go sideways. We can't always control the outcome of what we give. We sent a group recently to Sager Brown, and I'm going to invite Velma and Peggy to come forward. We sent a group to Sager Brown. Sager Brown is an UMCOR depot, so they mobilize a lot of the supplies that help a lot of the projects around the world to leave out of there. It's in Louisiana. And we had a group that went down there and did some significant help. I'm going to invite them forward. Now, Peggy, Velma said she's here for support for you. So you're going to do the talking, basically. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. The first one is, what did you do while you were at Sager Brown?
This year, we did what we call flood buckets. And I will make one mention about Sager Brown now. They no longer ship internationally. They have figured out that they're better off going to the country in need, like which we used to do the educational packet. And we no longer do those because we go to that country and buy it locally. Find out exactly what items they need. And instead of us packing what we think they need, and sending it to them. So they really have kind of straightened that part out. So we did flood buckets, and flood buckets are coming from all over the United States. And there are holding places all over the United States. They fill, make the buckets, and then they ship the buckets as is to Sager Brown. So then we go into Sager Brown, open them up, and make sure they are correct, and fix them. And I will just say this, that we were told to look for Jesus, and I found nothing but mold. Many of the buckets had been damaged, you know, things had opened up, or just being closed. You know, the gloves were moldy, and then that meant other things became moldy. And so it was, this time, a lot of hard work. The buckets were heavy, and, you know, at times we had to wear masks because there was so much mold.
So I take it that was your greatest frustration. Okay, so what was your greatest joy or satisfaction?
Well, the satisfaction is you're still in the end, hopefully sending out good buckets to people that are facing a horrible situation of a hurricane or something like that. I mean, it just has to be horrible to be in that situation. So we really feel like we're sending them good products that can help them clean up after this flooding.
And is that what you feel the difference you made was? Or did you feel like you made another difference?
No, I feel like I made a difference in that, and I was able to, you know, in the end, we had good flood buckets. It's also good to, you meet lots of other Methodists from all over the United States. And so that's always joyful to share fellowship with the other people.
All right, Velma, do you have anything you want to add?
Say that I got this crown for Mardi Gras. That is wasteful, gaudy.
And fabulous.
I do want to say this is kind of the motto of Sager Brown. And it comes from John Wesley. Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can. At all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Pretty good.
Hey, let's thank these wonderful ladies for the work that they do. Now, she didn't share, but I will tell you that I heard from many people the difference that Velma made just in being there. People were so encouraged by her presence. She has just a wonderful spirit about her. And that makes a difference, too. Wasteful crown and all. And I will echo, you know, as soon as the team got back, boy, did I hear about the flood buckets. Woo! Whoa! But as Peggy said, I want us to stop and think. If those buckets had gone out and they had not been checked, and people who were already suffering loss from a flood opened up something that was supposed to be helpful, and what they found was instead another disaster. Just think for a minute how you would feel in a moment like that. And so we stopped that from happening. And that makes a huge difference. There's a lot of difference made in the work that people do for God. There's difference made in the passages that we heard today. Not only was a man healed from demons, but let's also think about the impact that that healing had on the community. He's outside of their community. People can't really get there without the threat of running into him when he was out of control. And now that is gone. So his healing is also a communal healing. And that wedding may have not just saved the reputation of a young couple starting out and their family, but it may have literally saved them from legal ramifications. One of the great things I've been doing, I've just had a blast. I have a podcast that I do with Chancellor John White, the former chancellor of the University of Arkansas. It's called Talking John. I encourage you to check it out. And the reason that we're doing it is because he's written a commentary on the Gospel of John. And so we're going through that. And one of the things that he discovered about this passage is that not only would they have faced shame for having run out of wine, but they could have faced fines. A sin against hospitality in the Middle East is a real deal. So they could have faced fines. They could have faced jail for running out of wine. And Jesus stepped in and saved them that pain. There are sacrifices that are made. On behalf of mission, there are sacrifices made in these stories. There's the sacrifice of the herds. There's the sacrifice of the misplaced wine. There are all of these sacrifices. But is it any different, a sacrifice, than the one that God made when he gave his only son? That whoever believed in him would have eternal life. I never got to make a sacrifice play in T-ball. But I did sacrifice a lot of time. I played right field. Do you know how boring right field is in T-ball? The only way a ball is ever going out there is if the first base person accidentally throws the ball behind them. That's it. That's the only chance the ball's ever making it out to right field. So I sat in that field, and I did pick a lot of dandelions. So I guess I weeded the field for people. But what I did do was show up. And there were times when we had exactly 9 players. And if I had not shown up, we would have had to forfeit the game. But I was there, picking dandelions, striking out. And we won the city championship. We wouldn't if I hadn't shown up. We all win when we show up for one another. We all win when we play on the team. We all win on God's neighborhood team of all of humanity. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. If you would like to let us know you were here, follow the link below to connect. To participate in worship through giving, you can give online at fumcbentonville.org or on Venmo at FUMC Bentonville. FUMC Bentonville welcomes all. Because we believe the communion table is God's table, we invite everyone into our church family. We welcome and celebrate every race, gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, marital status, age, physical and mental ability, national origin, economic station, and political ideology. We come together in action and outreach, aspiring to follow Jesus' example of radical hospitality, love, and grace as a transformative movement in our community. Please join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m., both in person and on Facebook Live. All are welcome, and we'd love to have you with us. Grace and peace.